Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, tobacco smoke in your pets. The FDA gives us the lowdown on how second and third hand tobacco smoke affects our pets, mammal, fish, and fowl. But we're going to start with this. Here's a story with a happy ending from Best Friends Animal Society. Senior declawed cat gets help for pain so her spunky personality can shine. By Nicole Hamilton at Best Friends Animal Society. With her soft locks and sweet face, it's no wonder everyone wanted to get close to Yorbia, a senior cat at the Best Friends Life Saving Center in Salt Lake City. But after arriving from Wild Blue Cat Rescue, a Best Friends Network partner organization in Colorado, Yorbia wasn't always up for the attention. She was pretty cranky the majority of the time, says Jamie Schnell, a center adoption specialist who spent a lot of time with Yorbia. Sometimes she loved being petted, while other times she preferred being admired from afar. And she had no problem being assertive. Yorbia was one of those three pets, not four, kind of cats. Yorbia had a reason to be moody. The fact that she had been declawed before arriving at Wild Blue Cat Rescue caused her to develop behavioral problems common to cats and during this very painful procedure. Joint stiffness, balance issues, and even lameness. At Best Friends, Yorbia got nothing but love and acceptance, no matter what kind of mood she was in. Jamie says it's not always easy helping declawed cats find homes. Once people learn how declawing a cat can manifest into behavior and medical issues, they sometimes shy away from adopting one, she says. In Yorbia's case, adoption proved even more elusive because she's also in the beginning stages of kidney disease. And while she's otherwise healthy, she requires extra veterinary checkups and a special diet to keep her that way. The longer Yorbia waited for a home, the more the team was concerned. Since she was on a special diet, it was best to keep her in a cat tower away from other cats so she wouldn't be tempted to eat their food. We'd bring her out when we could, but most days she wasn't having it, says Jamie, who sometimes would lie awake at night worried about Yorbia. I could tell she was depressed. Yorbia had x-rays to see if she needed a second surgery on her paws from the botched declaw, but she didn't. Cranky cat conundrum. Nothing seemed to help Yorbia break her bad mood, so the team did more triage. Staff decided it was time to pull out all the stops to make Yorbia feel better again. Best Friends veterinarians, suspicious that she was still in pain from her declawing procedure, started her on pain medications. On one hand, the medications worked. On the other, they proved to be a source of even more stress for Yorbia, who doesn't like being given medicine. She began to flinch every time someone would come near her. It was breaking our hearts, Jamie said. We were also going back and forth on whether we should pull her off the medication completely. Was she better with possible pain in her paws and not receiving medication, or was it better to stress her out twice a day so she was pain-free? It was a conundrum for sure, but then came a real turning point for Yorbia when Julie Harrison stopped by the center wanting to meet cats waiting for a home longer than most. The team introduced her to Yorbia. She first looked at me with critical eyes, says Julie, but when she reached her paw out to me, I knew I passed her test. So, really, she picked me. Considering Yorbia's medical and behavioral changes, Best Friends suggested that Julie foster to adopt Yorbia and see how she did in her home. They also decided to find out how Yorbia did at Julie's place without any medication. She did great, and that's when Julie decided there was just one more thing left to do. Make it official and adopt her. Who's the boss? Well, the cat, of course. Today, Yorbia's preferred position is on Julie's lap. She's my shadow, says Julie. When she's not sleeping under the blankets or under any type of tent I make for her, she's surprisingly playful. It's not uncommon for her to jump up the walls or run in circles on the bed, chasing things only she can see. Julie says Yorbia shows no signs of discomfort from her declaw procedure. As for her kidney issues, Julie manages to keep them in check thanks to a special diet that includes making sure she has plenty of fresh water at all times. It took a while, but Yorbia has finally found her person. She loves to talk and is quite chatty when I come home, says Julie. She always tells me all about her day and listens as I tell her about mine. In fact, the sassier the better, says Julie. I'm so very thankful Yorbia can spend her retirement years with me and can't imagine life without this bossy cat. Adopt a wonderfully bossy cat near you. And now, for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Smoke That. From time to time, we hear about the types of things that can be harmful to our pets and should be avoided for their safety and well-being. I noticed on one application to adopt a rescue pet, one of the questions asked whether anyone in the household smokes. When it comes to our pets, how important is that? Well, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, offers the following on their website at fda.gov/animal-veterinary. It's not meant to be preachy or judgmental. It's just a lot of useful information on the subject. It's called Be Smoke Free and Help Your Pets Live Longer, Healthier Lives. Did you know that smoking is the leading preventable cause of death, disease, and disability in the United States? In the U.S., 1 out of every 4 non-smokers and 2 out of every 5 children are exposed to the harmful effects of secondhand and thirdhand smoke. That's 58 million people exposed to something that's preventable. Smoking's not only harmful to people, it's harmful to pets too. If 58 million non-smoking adults and children are exposed to tobacco smoke, imagine how many pets are exposed. Both secondhand smoke and thirdhand smoke hurt pets. Secondhand smoke is exhaled tobacco smoke and the smoke from the lit product itself. That's secondhand smoke. Thirdhand smoke is smoke residues that get on skin, clothes, furniture, carpets, and other things in the smoker's environment, including their pet's fur and feathers. There's no risk-free level of exposure to secondhand smoke. Why is smoking harmful? Smoking can cause diseases of nearly all organs of your body. Adult smokers can become ill or die from smoking-related diseases like heart disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, lung and bladder cancer, stroke, hardening of the arteries, and asthma. Adult non-smokers exposed to secondhand smoke can develop heart disease, stroke, and lung cancer. Secondhand smoke can also cause asthma, ear infections, and sudden infant death syndrome in children. Did you know that one cigarette can contain almost 600 ingredients? When burned, that same cigarette releases over 7,000 chemicals. 93 are in the FDA's list of harmful and potentially harmful constituents in tobacco products and tobacco smoke. Some members of that not-so-nice club include ammonia, arsenic, benzene, carbon monoxide, formaldehyde, hydrogen cyanide, lead, mercury, nicotine, toluene, and uranium-238. Over time, smoke-related chemicals build up wherever a person smokes. That old smoke smell you notice when you enter a smoker's house or car or a hotel room where someone has previously smoked? That's third-hand smoke. It's a residue made of tobacco smoke chemicals that remain from the smoke that filled the inside of the house, car, or hotel room. Some of those chemicals get re-released later back into the air. Some stay around because they're sticky, oily, or waxy. A good way to understand third-hand smoke is to think of it as a toxic chemical layer cake. It builds up in areas where people smoke. It can last for months, even after a smoker has stopped smoking, like a gift that keeps on giving. And it can be released back into the air as gases or ultrafine particles after reacting with chemicals normally present in the air, like nitrous acid and ozone. Nicotine, a major component of tobacco smoke, likes to stick to things such as furniture, fabrics, walls, carpet, and clothing. It also likes to react with different chemicals normally present in the air, like nitrous acid. Everyday items like gas-burning stoves, automobiles, and tobacco smoke generate nitrous acid, a pollutant in the air that reacts with nicotine. The reaction between nicotine and nitrous acid, difficult to say, forms cancer-causing compounds. Some of these compounds like to stick to surfaces and household dust, while others go back into the air as gases. People and pets are exposed to the harmful compounds by breathing in the gases or ingesting or inhaling contaminated house dust. People are also exposed by touching coated surfaces and then accidentally transferring the cancer-causing compounds from their fingers to their mouths. Like children, dogs and cats spend most of their time on or near the floor, where the tobacco smoke compounds concentrate in house dust, carpets, and rugs. Dogs, cats, and children can absorb these compounds through their skin and inhale them in contaminated house dust or as ultrafine particles and gases that were released back into the air. Pets can also ingest tobacco smoke compounds by licking their owner's hair, skin, and clothes. You can think of a pet owner who smokes as another surface that third-hand smoke can stick to. Even if pet owners go outside to smoke, when they come back into the house, the third-hand smoke comes with them. Because it's so sticky, third-hand smoke is also very stubborn to remove, if it's removable at all. One study showed that even when smokers' homes were cleaned and prepared for sale, third-hand smoke was still present in the dust and on household surfaces months after someone had last smoked in the homes. All right, here we go. What can smoking do to my pets? Scientists are investigating the effects of tobacco smoke on pets, but the amount of information available is small compared to the amount available about the effects of smoking in people. Still, the information we do have is important and sheds some light on what happens to pets exposed to second-hand and third-hand smoke. What can smoking do to my dog? For dogs that already have breathing or lung issues, inhaling tobacco smoke can worsen their symptoms in chronic coughing. Dogs can develop changes in their airways and lungs that are similar to those found in people who smoke. Ultrafine smoke particles can activate the immune system of people, a type of white blood cell in the lungs involved in this immune response is called the alveolar macrophage. Alveolar macrophages watch what comes into the lungs, and if they detect something abnormal, they eat it to get rid of it. Alveolar macrophages, a special kind of cells formerly found in the lungs, are the lungs' front line against infections. They recognize invading bacteria, fungi, or viruses and send out help signals to other cells in the immune system telling them to join the fight. Alveolar macrophages also act as mini housekeepers because they get rid of dead or dying tissue and other harmful things like particles of tobacco smoke, dust, or plant pollen. When harmful things get into the lungs, more alveolar macrophages are recruited to roam around, look for, find, and get rid of them. People who smoke, therefore, have an increased number of alveolar macrophages because their bodies are trying to get rid of all the tobacco smoke particles in their lungs. Dogs exposed to tobacco smoke also have an increased number of alveolar macrophages, some of which contain black smoke particles, likely for the same reason. How tobacco smoke affects a dog depends on the length of the dog's nose. Why? Because noses are big air filters. Have you ever dusted a dirty room and then had to blow your nose? Chances are you had black-looking yuck on your tissue afterward. The hair and mucus in your nose and the mucus in your sinuses act like glue traps. They trap particles like dust, pollen, and tobacco smoke and keep them out of your lungs. Bigger noses, therefore, will trap more particles. This holds true especially in dogs. Long-nosed dog breeds like Greyhounds and Doberman Pinschers that are exposed to tobacco smoke have a doubled risk of nose cancer. Their noses filter out a lot of inhaled tobacco smoke particles, which stay trapped in their noses, so less get into their lungs. Unfortunately, This puts the tissues inside their nose and sinuses in contact with a lot of toxic cancer-causing particles, leading to the increased risk of nose cancer. Short and medium-nosed breeds like pugs, bulldogs, beagles, and Brittany spaniels have a greater risk of lung cancer. Why? Because their noses are much shorter. Fewer tobacco smoke particles get filtered out and go more directly into the lungs. Those ultrafine particles like to go deep into the lungs, leading to increased risk of lung cancer. What can smoking do to my cat? Cats are careful groomers, which keeps them looking beautiful. But grooming can be a bad thing for cats living in a smoking household. Cats breathe in secondhand smoke directly, just like dogs. When cats groom themselves, though, they also ingest third-hand smoke particles that fall onto their fur. Studies show that cats living in smoking households have a 2 to 4 times increased risk of aggressive type of mouth cancer called oral squamous cell carcinoma. The cancer is often found under the base of the tongue, where the third-hand smoke particles tend to collect after grooming. Of the cats that develop oral squamous cell carcinoma, less than 10% will survive 1 year after diagnosis, even if they've had chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation treatment. Cats that live with people who smoke more than one pack of cigarettes a day have 3 times the risk of developing lymphoma, a cancer of the body's immune system similar to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in people. The typical survival time of a cat with lymphoma, even with chemotherapy or surgery, is 6 months. What can smoking do to my pet bird? Birds are very sensitive to air pollution, especially tobacco smoke. They can develop changes in their respiratory system similar to those seen in children exposed to tobacco smoke. Birds that live in a smoking household breathe in secondhand smoke, and like cats, birds like to groom or preen themselves. When they do so, they ingest third-hand smoke particles that have coated their feathers. Birds are also exposed to third-hand smoke by perching on their owner's clothes or hands and absorbing the harmful particles through their feet or by preening their owner's hair and ingesting the particles there. Birds that live with smokers can develop irritated sinuses, pneumonia, allergies, lung cancer, feather plucking, eye problems, skin abnormalities, heart problems, and fertility problems. Some of these conditions like pneumonia, lung cancer, and heart problems can cause death. Other conditions like allergies and feather plucking can be difficult to treat if the bird is not removed from the smoky environment. What can smoking do to my pet guinea pig? Pocket pets aren't immune to the effects of tobacco smoke. In one study, guinea pigs exposed to secondhand smoke for more than 6 months develop microscopic changes in their lungs similar to those seen in people who smoke. They also developed other problems like emphysema, a disease where the tiny air sacs in the lungs, the alveoli, get stretched out and don't work properly, and pulmonary hypertension. High blood pressure in the blood vessels from the heart to the lungs due to the vessels being too thick or not stretchy enough. In another study, guinea pigs exposed to chronic tobacco smoke had decreased weight gain due to toxic effects on their metabolism. The study authors noted that the guinea pigs did not gain weight starting 5 weeks after exposure to tobacco smoke. Microscopic lung changes, like those described above, also occurred, but happened after the guinea pig's weight gain began to decrease. Here's something I didn't think about. What can smoking do to my pet fish? Believe it or not, smoking harms pet fish. How's that possible? Well, nicotine is toxic to fish. Both secondhand smoke and third-hand smoke contain a lot of nicotine. Because nicotine dissolves easily in water, it can eventually end up in a fish tank's water and poison the fish inside it. Fish exposed to toxic levels of nicotine can develop muscle spasms, rigid fins, and loss of color. They may also die. just how toxic are nicotine and other chemicals in tobacco to fish? In a simple experiment, scientists put one smoked cigarette butt into water containing 2-week-old fathead minnows. Half the fish died within 96 hours from one smoked cigarette butt. Nicotine poisoning in pets. Nicotine poisoning is a serious concern for pets, not only when nicotine is inhaled, but also when it's ingested. How could your pet ingest nicotine? There are several ways, including eating cigarette or cigar butts, drinking nicotine refill liquid, chewing on nicotine refill canisters for electronic nicotine delivery devices, or chewing on the devices themselves. More on electronic nicotine delivery systems a bit later. Nicotine can be toxic, even at small doses. Fatal doses in dogs and cats have been reported at 20 to 100 milligrams. How much of a tobacco product would a dog or cat have to eat to reach a dose of 20 to 100 milligrams? One regular cigarette can contain 9 to 30 milligrams of nicotine, while one cigar can contain 15 to 40 milligrams. A dog or cat wouldn't have to eat many cigarettes or cigars to get sick. Although seemingly harmless, cigarette butts left in ashtrays at home or tossed outside also pose a danger because, they contain 5 to 7 milligrams of nicotine. Not only can dogs and cats get into ashtrays and eat cigarette butts, but pet birds allowed to roam indoors can too. Signs of nicotine poisoning in pets include vomiting, unsteadiness, drooling, tiredness, fast heart rate, shaking, weakness, seizures, and death. If your pet eats a cigarette, more than one cigarette butt, a cigar, chewing tobacco, a nicotine refill capsule, or liquid refilling station, that's an emergency. Get him or her to your veterinarian or to a veterinary emergency clinic as quickly as possible. There is no antidote for nicotine poisoning. Your veterinarian can give supportive care like intravenous fluids and anti-seizure medications that may help your pet survive until the nicotine leaves his or her system. Now, electronic nicotine delivery systems. You may be using e-cigarettes, e-pipes, e-pens, e-hookahs, or e-cigars, because you think these are safe products to use. These electronic nicotine delivery systems, or ENDS, however, can still cause problems for you and your pets. Some studies have shown that the aerosol made by these devices may expose you and therefore your pets to higher than normal amounts of nicotine and other toxic chemicals like formaldehyde. At first, under the Tobacco Control Act, FDA could only regulate cigarettes, cigarette tobacco, roll-your-own tobacco, and smokeless tobacco. But on August 8th of 2016, a new law took effect that gives the agency the authority to regulate all tobacco products, including ENDS. The FDA can now prohibit sale of tobacco products to children under 18 years of age. They can review new tobacco products before they're marketed, review tobacco advertisements, evaluate ingredients in new tobacco products, and better protect from and educate people about the dangers of using tobacco products. ENDS use capsules that can contain nicotine. Some of these capsules can be refilled using a special liquid. Sometimes pets, mainly dogs, find the capsules and bite them or get into the liquid refilling solution. In a March 15, 2016 letter to the editor of the Journal of American Veterinary Medical Association, the Texas Poison Center Network reported 11 cases of dogs being exposed to ENDS or refills. Remember, there's no antidote for nicotine poisoning. If your pet gets into ENDS, nicotine capsule, or the liquid refilling solution, it's an emergency. Get him or her to your veterinarian or to a veterinary emergency clinic as quickly as possible. ENDS-related fires and explosions are a new risk to people and pets. In 2016, the FDA Center for Tobacco Products reviewed and summarized reports from other U.S. government agencies, the news media, and scientific articles about ENDS-related fires and explosions, finding that some events have resulted in life-threatening injury and permanent disfigurement or disability. Although there were no reports of pets being injured, the risk still exists. Pets that chew on devices may potentially puncture the cartridges or batteries, or they may inadvertently turn on the devices. Keep ENDS and all other tobacco products out of the reach of children and pets at all times. Now, the FDA's article concludes, of course, with suggestions on how to quit smoking. So, they say, what can be done to help someone I care about cut back on or quit smoking? Anyone who's a smoker will tell you that quitting smoking is tough, but there are so many great reasons to quit smoking. You may already have known that quitting benefits you and the people around you, and now you know your pets benefit too. Today, you can find a lot of good information and many tools online that you can use to quit smoking. Some federal resources include the National Cancer Institute and the CDC smokefree.gov site, which offers cell phone apps to help you quit smoking, like Quit Guide, Quit Start, External Link Disclaimer, and Smokefree TXT. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Tips for Former Smokers campaign webpage, I'm Ready to Quit. You can call the CDC to get help at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or 1-800-784-8669. Other good resources of information and tools to help you quit smoking include the American Cancer Society's Guide to Quitting Smoking, the American Lung Association's Stop Smoking website, and the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids website. So there you have some interesting and compelling information as reported by the FDA. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.